The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story called Vasilisa the Beautiful and Baba Yaga features child abuse, graphic imagery, and violence. Please exercise caution for children under 13. Yet another young boy had shown up at Baba Yaga's front step. Always during my meals, she thought, as she got up from her dining table to open the front door. The boy was young, but not a child, on the verge of adulthood, but not quite over the hump. He stood proudly at the door and introduced himself. Baba Yaga did not bother to hear his name. They were all the same. Instead, she leaned over and sniffed his head. The boy smelled Russian. Delicious.
Can I help you, child?
Suddenly, the boy trembled underneath her. He glanced sideways at the skulls mounted on her fence posts, but then he took a deep breath and said,
I am meant for greatness and have come to ask for a bride worthy of my stature.
Baba Yaga laughed and invited him in.
Don't worry, boy, you'll get what you're owed, she said as she closed the door behind him.
The next morning, the ancient witch opened her front door, whistling at the joy of a new day. She walked out towards the woods, but stopped by one of the empty posts. Then she reached into her pocket and pulled out a brand new skull. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Parcast original. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Tales for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Tales in the search bar. This week, we're telling a tale called Vasilisa the Beautiful and Baba Yaga, a story about a young orphan left to defend herself against her evil stepmother. But when she's sent to fetch a light from the elusive Baba Yaga, she soon learns that her stepmother may not be her greatest problem after all. Coming up, we'll dive into the origins of this tale. Vasilisa the Beautiful and Baba Yaga is one of the more well-known Cinderella stories, tales that typically follow a forsaken young protagonist who eventually comes into an incredible fortune. It's estimated that there are over 3,000 different versions of this rags-to-riches trope. But this story, a Russian fairy tale first collected by folklorist Alexander Afanasyev sometime during the 1850s, has a unique element others don't include, the infamous Baba Yaga. Baba Yaga appears in hundreds of Russian folktales and has infested the nightmares of children across Russia and Eastern Europe for centuries. Some stories claim she's immortal. Others say she can die, but another Baba Yaga always takes her place. She's rarely the main character, but exists to test the protagonist and teach both children and adults that there is no easy way to reconcile conflicts. Despite being Russian herself, Baba Yaga is always harder on Russian citizens than others. She can smell Russian blood and often eats her own kind for dinner. Some say that this is her way of protecting Russian land, as if the humans who inhabit it are an infestation. She serves as a spooky and cannibalistic witch, but she's also godlike, a Mother Nature type of being. It's also widely believed that the stories of Baba Yaga were meant to give Russian peasants a way to cope with their suffering. In tales like Vasilisa the Beautiful and Baba Yaga, the characters are rewarded with better lives as long as they stay pure of heart and are willing to work hard. Vasilisa's fingers ached as she patched garment after garment. Her stepmother and two stepsisters had retired to their rooms hours ago, but Vasilisa had a long list of chores yet to do, and she was beginning to feel like the task was hopeless. After she pricked her finger yet again with the needle, she set the fabric down and pressed her cheek to the window. She'd return to work in just a moment. Outside, a light haze softened the night sky. The Tsar's castle could be seen far off in the distance, hundreds of burning torches lit outside. Vasilisa sighed longingly. What she wouldn't give to live in a castle and have guards around to make sure no one treated her poorly. She stoked the embers of her own fireplace, then reached into her pocket. Inside was a small, handmade doll that her mother had made for her before she passed away. It had gentle brown button eyes and a little mouth always turned up in a smile. She held the doll tight to her chest and remembered her mother's dying words like it was yesterday.
"My precious daughter, as you face the world without me, keep this doll close. I have stitched her together with every bit of love I have for you. When life is hard, hold her tight and tell her your worries. She will always be there to help you."
Vasilisa loved this doll and slept with it each and every night. Normally, just the thought of her mother's love alone kept her moving throughout her days. But tonight, surrounded by a pile of dresses her stepsisters had purposefully torn, she wondered how she would keep going alone. So she leaned in and whispered into the doll's ear.
"I'm so, so tired. I don't think I can even stand back up. Galina says that if I don't finish all my chores, she will throw me out of the house. I just don't know what to do," she said.
Suddenly, the doll whispered back.
"Don't worry, dear one. Rest your eyes and go to sleep. Your chores will be done by morning."
Vasilisa was shocked. The doll went limp again and she couldn't believe what she'd just seen.
"It just can't be that easy,"
she thought.
"I've been doing all of this work all along."
But her mother had said that the doll was there to help her, so she did as instructed, closed her eyes, and finally took her rest. The next morning, Vasilisa woke to a wonderful surprise. The house was the cleanest she had ever seen it. Every nook and cranny had been dusted, the walls appeared to have been scrubbed down, and breakfast had even been made. All of her chores were completed. Vasilisa breathed a giant sigh of relief. She pulled the doll from her pocket and held it in front of her, staring into its kind eyes.
"Thank you, sweet doll, thank you," she said, squeezing it into her chest.
But her gratitude was quickly interrupted by the sound of her stepsisters hurrying down the stairs. The beginning of her mornings was never good. Vasilisa placed the doll deep within her apron pocket, hiding it just before the two ran into the room. They were happy and giggling until they saw that the kitchen had been thoroughly cleaned. They snarled, then began to taunt Vasilisa.
"Don't get too comfortable, orphan," the older said. "If Mother finds even one thing out of place, she will send you away forever."
The younger reached out and pushed a plate off the table, causing it to shatter across the floor. Vasilisa dropped to the floor and hurriedly gathered the pieces. But just as she grabbed the final shard, Galina entered the room. Vasilisa stood and bowed.
"Let's take stock of how the little orphan did, shall we?"
Galina said, walking from corner to corner. Her stepmother was tall and bird-like, with narrow eyes. Vasilisa held the broken pieces in her hand as Galina craned her neck to inspect above the shelves and behind the furniture. The ragged edges began to cut into Vasilisa's palms, but she didn't dare wince, should Galina notice that something was off.
"Decent,"
Galina said. She eyed Vasilisa's hands, but Vasilisa drew them back.
Now, prepare breakfast. Kasha and tea for today. Call me when it's ready.
Galina and the two upset stepsisters walked back upstairs, and Vasilisa breathed a sigh of relief. When they were all out of sight, she tossed the shards into the trash, bandaged her hands, and got started on the porridge. Yet another day. Vasilisa's day went as normal, and she completed the chores around the house herself. But that evening, after the sun had set, Galina called all three girls to the kitchen and instructed them to work on their lace work. The three girls sat at a small table, and Galina placed a candle in the center so they could see. The request wasn't strange, and Vasilisa enjoyed getting to practice her skills. But as she worked, she noticed that her two stepsisters were snickering, and Galina stood in the corner watching not them, but the clock. Suddenly, the clock struck 10, and Vasilisa heard a faint whisper coming from the corner, some sort of incantation. When it ended, a breeze blew through the room, and the lamps around the house went out in an instant. A chill went down Vasilisa's spine. The only last bit of light was the quickly melting candle on the table. Its dying flame cast flickering shadows across her stepsisters' faces.
"What did you do?"
the older asked, her voice mocking and mean.
"I didn't do anything,"
Vasilisa said pleadingly. Then another gust of wind came and blew the final candle out. Vasilisa yelped, frightened in the sudden darkness. She snatched the stump of a candle from the table and tried her best to light it, but none of the matches would spark. Then she grew frantic, fumbling around for another box until she heard her stepmother's voice call out,
"Calm down, orphan girl."
She slowly moved towards the table, her footsteps sounding like sandpaper across the floor.
"I think it's clear our home has come under some strange sort of bewitchment," she said. "I'm not sure what you did, Vasilisa, but I am certain this is somehow your fault."
Vasilisa wondered if maybe the doll had placed some sort of curse on the house, but it couldn't have. It had been in her pocket the entire time. Her stepmother continued,
"And since it's your fault, we will need you to fix it. You must go into the woods and ask Baba Yaga for a torch."
Vasilisa's heart raced. To confront Baba Yaga was terribly foolish. She'd heard plenty of stories about the old witch, how she flew in a mortar and pestle carriage, how she ate Russians for breakfast, and how she was as fickle as fate. Baba Yaga was just as likely to chop Vasilisa into pieces as she was to grant her any request.
But Baba Yaga,
Vasilisa stammered.
"I will be killed."
Galina fingered the collar of Vasilisa's dress, grasped it, and pulled her towards the door. The moonlight illuminated a small smirk on her face as she said,
"Yes, if you are foolish, you will be killed. But that will be your own fault. You will not set one foot inside this house until you return with a torch from Baba Yaga. Understand?"
Vasilisa nodded. She understood, she said, before Galina shoved her outside and slammed the door. Coming up, Vasilisa meets the infamous Baba Yaga.
Hey listeners, I want to take a quick moment to introduce you to the newest Parcast original on the block. It's called Incredible Feats, and it's a short weekday show hosted by comedian Dan Cummins. Every weekday, Dan shares a true account of physical strength, mental focus, or genuine bizarre behavior, going behind the scenes and into the achievements of world-class athletes like Dean Karnassus, who once ran for nearly 81 hours without stopping. and performance artists like Lucky Diamond Rich, who boasts layers of tattoos in the most unlikely places, and even everyday people thrown into extraordinary circumstances, like Juliana Kopka, who was forced to survive alone in a rainforest for 11 days. Incredible Feats is offbeat entertainment that's sometimes weird, sometimes wonderful, and always surprising. New episodes air daily, Monday through Friday. Search Incredible Feats and follow free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the story. Vasilisa was a young orphan, forced into doing chore after chore in her stepmother's home. But the stepmother hated Vasilisa and cast a spell of darkness over their home in order to force Vasilisa to go out to the woods and ask the terribly fickle Baba Yaga for a torch. Vasilisa was terrified. She was certain she would be killed. But if she returned without a light, she would be without a home. Then she would surely starve.
"Both are terrible," she thought.
She walked to the edge of her front yard and laid down by a tree. Then she began to cry. But after a few tears dropped on the grass, Vasilisa felt a gentle tug coming from her apron pocket. Her mother's doll. She wiped her eyes and glanced down. The doll waved up at her.
"Please, I can help," it said.
Vasilisa picked up the doll and set it on the grass. It raised one of its tiny hands, patted Vasilisa on the nose, and said,
"Do not fear, dear one. Take me with you, and together we will survive Baba Yaga."
Vasilisa sniffled and asked the doll if it was certain. The little doll smiled up at her, nodded, and said,
"Yes, but Baba Yaga may not look too kindly upon me. You must be careful to keep me hidden. Promise?"
Vasilisa still felt uneasy, but she had no other choice. She nodded, put the doll back into her pocket, and stood up. Then she stepped into the dark and wild woods. As Vasilisa made her way through the tall trees and tangled underbrush, she kept her hand in her pocket, a finger on the doll's head. Every few minutes, the doll either reassured her she was going in the right direction or soothingly instructed her to change course. After a while, Vasilisa stopped thinking so much and simply followed the doll's instructions. By nightfall, she slipped into a trance-like state. She wasn't worried about anything. She had nothing to do but walk. But in the wee hours of the night, a horse whinnied in the distance, causing her to jump out of her skin. The loud hoofbeats pounded towards her, coming closer. She spun in a circle, searching for the source of the noise, but saw nothing. No horse. Then suddenly, a massive stallion burst forth from the underbrush. It was all white, with a rider in armor the color of snow. Vasilisa's jaw dropped. Something about the pair's essence made her feel tiny and inconsequential. The horse and its rider glowed like otherworldly beings, and they sped by, barely glancing her way. As they faded into the distance, the sky grew lighter. Dawn was breaking. Shortly after, she heard another horse running toward her. This one was a vibrant shade of red, its rider clad in scarlet armor. As it sped past, the sun peeked across the horizon, signaling day. Vasilisa was enamored by what she had just seen and stared intently in the direction the travelers had gone. She couldn't get the horses out of her mind. But the doll reminded her they had a journey of their own and nudged her forward in the other direction. Then came the third. This horse was jet black, and its rider wore onyx armor. Its gallop was heavy, almost violent. As it passed Vasilisa, the sun dipped below the horizon, and the horse faded into the night. Vasilisa shivered. The first two had been pleasant, but the last ominous. When she turned back to her path, she found that it was no longer a path at all, but the mouth of a small clearing.
Baba Yaga's hut stood right in the middle of the grass. It was a dreadful sight to behold. Old torches peppered the yard, their lights faintly flickering. The house itself was lifted off the ground by a pair of dead chicken legs, and the frame leaned slightly to the left. The fence wasn't made of wood, but of human bones, skulls resting on the posts. Vasilisa patted the doll in her pocket and took a deep breath. Cautiously, she stepped into the yard. The torches lit up immediately, casting an eerie glow on the front door. Suddenly, a faint cackling blew through the air. Vasilisa froze in place and searched the sky above. Baba Yaga flew toward her, riding in her mortar and steering with her pestle. She soared over her cottage, then came to a stop on the ground, right in front of Vasilisa. The witch was just as described. Her legs were obscenely long. Her wart-covered nose curved out and down, almost connecting to the bottom of her chin. She was bone-thin, and her skin hung loosely in large waves of sagging wrinkles. Baba Yaga climbed from her mount and sniffed the air.
"Is that Russian blood I smell?"
Vasilisa nervously answered.
"Yes, Grandmother of the Woods, it is I whom you smell. My stepmother sent me to ask you for a working torch."
Baba Yaga leaned forward. Her breath was harsh and her voice raspy.
"I know of your stepmother," she said.
She paused and sucked in the smell of Vasilisa's hair.
"Come, follow me. If you complete my tasks, I will grant you your light. Tonight, you will cook me dinner."
The witch turned toward her home. Vasilisa followed, her legs shaking with fright. She wondered what she would find in the house, a human torso sitting in a pot or a rotting pile of flesh in the sink, perhaps. But as she walked in, she was relieved to find that the inside looked as one might expect a small cottage to look, slightly dusty and filled with trinkets. There were no bodies, and Baba Yaga only asked Vasilisa to prepare roast beef. It was an easy task, one Vasilisa had done many times before. She cooked and set the food out on the table. Vasilisa waited for her next instructions, but Baba Yaga said nothing and dug right into the meat. After some time, she had eaten enough for four men, then grew very tired.
"I will be out tomorrow," she said, her eyes drifting closed. "But while I'm gone, you will clean the courtyard, make dinner, and wash the floors. Then you will prepare my bedclothes and sweep the entire barn. Oh, and if you fail at this, I might just make you my dinner," she said.
Then she fell asleep. Vasilisa was afraid at first. Could she get everything done? But then she remembered the doll. She pulled it out of her pocket and told her everything that had just happened, as well as her duties tomorrow. The little doll shushed Vasilisa and said calmly,
"Do not worry at all, dear one. Eat your supper, say your prayers, and go to sleep. Tomorrow, I will help you complete your chores."
Vasilisa did exactly as instructed. She ate what little was left of the meat and then slept on the floor. Vasilisa woke the following morning ready to tackle her chores for the day, but when she reached into her pocket for her doll, she found that the doll was not there. Her heart went into a panic. Had Baba Yaga found the doll? She thought, springing up from the floor. She spun around and searched the room, then saw a broom handle sticking up in the air, moving back and forth on its own. When she walked closer, she saw the doll at its base, sweeping the bristles across the floor.
"There you are,"
Vasilisa exclaimed.
"You gave me a fright. I thought I had lost you."
The doll grinned up at her and then explained,
"You were so tired. I decided to let you rest while I began the chores. Now how about you cook the dinner and let me worry about the rest?"
Despite herself, Vasilisa chuckled and smiled. She thanked the doll and began to cook. By the time Baba Yaga returned home, every single chore was finished and a massive feast laid out on the table. Vasilisa was proud of her work. But this did not seem to please Baba Yaga. The old witch saw the food and snarled. She sat to eat, chewing in a wicked silence. When she was finished, she turned to Vasilisa and said,
"Tomorrow you will do everything you did today, but you will also tend to the barrels in the barn. You must separate all of the poppy seeds from the peas and clean them of every grain of soil. If even a speck of dirt is left on them, or I find one seed out of place, you will be my dinner."
Then she laid down and began to snore. It would have been an impossible task, Vasilisa thought, if not for the doll. It reassured her again that it would help, and she was grateful. She could sleep, knowing that the next day she would complete all her tasks. Maybe then Baba Yaga would finally hand her a torch. The next day passed quickly. Vasilisa prepared a large feast while her doll completed every single one of the rest of the chores, including sorting and cleaning the poppy seeds. That evening, Baba Yaga returned home, inspected the house, the food, and the barrels. Not a single thing was out of place. Yet this time, Baba Yaga wasn't just displeased, she was angry.
"You completed everything?" she asked.
Vasilisa nodded.
"On your own?"
Vasilisa hesitated for a moment, but again she nodded. Baba Yaga squinted, staring into Vasilisa. For a moment, Vasilisa didn't think that the old witch believed her, but then she softened and motioned for Vasilisa to sit.
"Good girl," she said. "You might be a worthy Russian after all, so I will allow you to ask me any question you want. But be careful, some answers may cause you to know too much and quickly grow old."
Sweat brimmed on Vasilisa's upper lip. She could sense that this was another kind of test and was worried about offending the witch. But she also knew that if she waited too long to ask a question, Baba Yaga might grow impatient and angry. So she asked the only thing she could think of.
"Thank you for the opportunity, Grandmother of the Woods. I'm curious about something I saw. As I was traveling here, there were three horsemen, one in white, one in red, and one in black. Who were they?"
Baba Yaga raised her eyebrows as if it was a good question. She spoke between bites of her food.
"You are wise to not ask about what you've seen or heard about inside my home. I like to keep my life private, and I eat anyone who spreads tales about me."
She bit hard into the bone of a chicken leg, crunching it loudly and grinding it into fine bits.
"So I will tell you. The white horse is my bright day. The red is my sun, and the black is my knight. You see, they are my faithful servants."
She paused and studied Vasilisa.
"I command this earth in ways that you may not want to understand, young girl. Now, do you have any more questions?"
Vasilisa thought for a moment and decided to answer honestly.
"I am afraid to ask another. I do not want to grow too old."
Baba Yaga cackled boisterously, spraying bits of meat through the air.
"Good child," she said. "Now I will ask the next question. How did you manage to complete all of the tasks I assigned?"
Vasilisa chewed on her lower lip. She knew she was supposed to keep the doll secret, but she was not sure it would be wise to lie to the witch. She patted her pocket and looked downward. The doll was still and motionless. But again, she remembered her mother's words.
"I have stitched her together with every bit of love I have for you."
Vasilisa smiled, then pulled the doll out of her pocket to show Baba Yaga.
"My mother's love," she said.
Baba Yaga stopped chewing her food and grew dead silent. Then she leapt across the table, lunging straight for Vasilisa's chest. Coming up, Vasilisa learns her fate. Now back to the story. Vasilisa arrived at Baba Yaga's hut in hopes of obtaining a light for her stepmother, and the old witch gave her a series of tasks to complete. The chores would have been impossible, but with the help of her mother's handmade doll, Vasilisa was able to complete them all. Yet when Baba Yaga learned of how Vasilisa had finished the tasks, the old witch grew furious and shoved Vasilisa so hard that she stumbled backward and fell to the ground. Vasilisa tried to scramble away, but the witch crept toward her and she ended up stuck in a corner. Baba Yaga seemed to grow taller and larger by the second until she was hovering right over her.
"I will not have any sort of blessings in my house," she screamed.
Vasilisa was afraid that she would be killed, that this would be the end for her life.
"I should have done it on my own," she thought.
But then the witch's face softened and she sighed.
"I am a woman of my word," she said. "And you completed all of the chores. Now follow me outside."
The witch turned and Vasilisa rose to her feet to follow. Outside, Baba Yaga pulled a large wooden stake from the ground and wedged a skull on top of it. Once in place, a light glowed through its eyes. She handed the torch to Vasilisa and bitterly said,
"Take this home and give it to your stepmother. She shall get her light."
Then the old witch walked back into her home, slamming the door behind her. Vasilisa was shocked. She couldn't believe that she would have gotten off that easily and feared Baba Yaga would come after her. So she gripped the torch and ran. At first, she ran out of fear, but as she got further away from the old witch's cursed land, the fear melted away. Instead, she felt a rush of adrenaline and joy. She had just escaped what she had thought was a certain death, and she'd come up with the light as asked. The journey home felt quick and easy. The skull lit her path through the darkness, and she walked as if in a dream. As dawn broke, Vasilisa came to her front yard. She made her way up the walkway, patted the doll in her pocket, and stood before the front door. But then Vasilisa paused. She could not open it. She was nervous about facing Galina again and wondered if she should just leave and run away while she could. But as she hesitated, the skull turned its face toward her. In a haunting voice, it said,
"Be good, Vasilisa, and take me inside. Baba Yaga meant for you to give me to your stepmother."
Vasilisa paused for a moment longer. Could she trust this skull? Should she be good to her stepmother, who had never been good to her? But eventually, she decided that she should listen to the skull, as she knew better than to ignore instructions from Baba Yaga. Inside, every room was still pitch black. Vasilisa called out to Galina and her stepsisters, but got no response. So she brought the torch inside and raised it in the hall. Suddenly, it shone throughout the entire house, bringing daylight back into her home. The two stepsisters ran downstairs, shocked by their sudden ability to see.
"You actually fixed it? You lifted the curse?"
Vasilisa nodded, then saw Galina heading down the stairs. She seemed displeased.
"And how exactly did you manage this?" she asked.
Vasilisa explained that she had done everything she'd been told, and Baba Yaga had rewarded her with a light.
"How dare you lie to me, orphan child?" Galina said, her voice cold. You are not clever enough to escape Baba Yaga. Give me this.
She snatched the torch from Vasilisa's hand and began inspecting it. For a moment, the skull turned to Vasilisa and grinned, but Vasilisa didn't know why. Then it turned back to Galina and stared right into her eyes. Suddenly, the light inside turned fiery red, then burst forward in a steady torrent of flame. Galina screamed in pain, dropping the torch. She tried to smother the flames, but they engulfed her face, spreading rapidly. She ran from the room, but the skull rolled across the ground and followed her, continuing to shoot more and more flames. For a moment, Vasilisa stood frozen in shock. But when the danger of the flames set in, she hurried forward, snatching the torch back from the ground. She yelled at her stepsisters,
"Stay back! It's dangerous! Get out of the house! Hurry!"
But this only seemed to make the problem worse. The torch sent a larger wave of flames upon the two girls. It had a mind of its own. Soon the girls were entirely engulfed, and Vasilisa could do nothing. When it finally stopped, Vasilisa stood alone, feeling angry and confused. She was surrounded by three piles of ash, and the air smelled like sulfur, burning the inside of her nose. She ran outside, wondering why this happened to her. She did everything that her stepmother and Baba Yaga asked, yet still, she was without a home. She picked up the torch and buried it deep in the dirt. Then she stood and looked at the empty house in front of her. She couldn't stay. She felt the house was cursed, and she didn't want to be alone. Vasilisa walked to the nearby village to search for a place to live. She was unsuccessful at first, but after some time, an elderly woman named Agnes agreed to take her in. "I am also without family and in need of companionship," the woman said, "but I will not allow you to perform any chores in this house." Vasilisa tried to protest, but the woman insisted, "You will be my honored guest, not my servant." At first, Vasilisa enjoyed her new life and the meals she and Agnes shared. But eventually, Vasilisa grew bored, as she was used to working with her hands. She asked Agnes for some flax that she might be able to make into linen.
"Let me gather you some from the garden," she said.
With the help of her mother's doll, Vasilisa learned how to make the finest fabric anyone had ever laid eyes on. Under her stepmother, she'd been so consumed with completing day-to-day chores that she'd never had the time to become good at any of them. But now, she could be great. When she finally perfected her fabric, she gave it to Agnes as a gift. But the old woman was so impressed by the quality of Vasilisa's workmanship that she felt only the Tsar himself was worthy of it. She insisted they take a trip to court. But Vasilisa was nervous. She'd never met a Tsar before, let alone been in a palace. But Agnes told her not to worry. She would talk to the Tsar herself. The palace was vast and full of elaborate decorations. Vasilisa was enamored by it, but quickly grew embarrassed about the small stains on her clothing and her slightly unkempt hair. As they approached the throne room, she asked Agnes if it would be okay if she waited outside. She was too nervous to meet the Tsar.
"Your cheeks are bright red, my dear," she said, laughing. "I'm sure he will be pleased with the fabric and you, but I am happy to show him alone if you wish."
Vasilisa nodded, and Agnes entered the throne room alone. Vasilisa waited patiently outside for some time, glancing around the gold-trimmed hall. Eventually, Agnes re-emerged, but she only poked her head out the door.
"The Tsar insists on meeting you," she said, smiling peacefully.
Vasilisa protested. She couldn't meet the Tsar in her current condition, but Agnes said she had no choice. So Vasilisa smoothed her skirt, then her hair, and walked towards the throne. As she grew closer, She found that the Tsar wasn't so intimidating after all. He had soft features, boyish eyes, and was around her age, she thought. She bowed, and he stood and bowed too. They locked eyes. Vasilisa felt it was love at first sight. They spent the afternoon talking. Vasilisa told him about how she had worked to perfect her fabric. The Tsar swore he could not live life without her and asked for her hand in marriage. Vasilisa gladly accepted. Vasilisa lived out the rest of her days happier than she ever dared dream she could be. She continued to weave her own fabric, and her garments became renowned throughout the realm. But no matter what riches were brought her way, her most treasured possession was always her mother's little handmade doll. If Vasilisa the Beautiful and Baba Yaga were a fable, it could end with Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29, which says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings." This lesson is taught at the very end through Vasilisa's undying work ethic. She continues to improve her skills even after she's no longer being forced to do so, and because of her industrious perseverance, she is granted her happily ever after. But more importantly, this tale showcases the life-changing effects of a mother's love. Without the doll her mother had made for her, Vasilisa wouldn't have been able to pass Baba Yaga's tests, and Baba Yaga may not have ever let her go. Vasilisa is able to escape the witch because she listens to the doll and allows it to help and guide her. Similarly, she's able to break free of her stepmother and stepsisters because she listens to Baba Yaga and the skull. If one listens to their elders, the tale says, good things will come. In reality, a mother's love doesn't bring an enchanted doll to life, but this tale also shows that parents can teach their children to become people of strong moral character, which becomes invaluable as those children face various life trials. Vasilisa is able to bring the light home because she's good of heart and is thus rewarded. The tale shows parents that their children will benefit from their love and teachings long after they have passed on. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next week with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Tales, for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Tales on Spotify, just open the app, tap Browse, and type Tales in the search bar. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Carrie Murphy, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Aaron Larson. This episode of Tales was written by Amanda Hobseth, with writing assistance by Greg Castro. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Hey, Parcasters, don't forget to check out the brand new Spotify original from Parcast, Incredible Feats. Join host Dan Cummins as he explores true accounts of weird, wonderful, and all-out wild achievements. New episodes premiere daily Monday through Friday. Search Incredible Feats and follow free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.